Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
We tried.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. Hey, swing by and visit them this week, Tuesday, August 14th. Rock Paper Podcast presents Singer-Songwriter Storytelling Showcase with Anna Shanoff, Bobby Stevens, and Matt Wynn. Thursday, August 16th, The Wilhelms. Friday, August 17th, The Warbuckles. And Saturday, August 18th, The Scandaleros. You can find all these shows and more at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And come by for the show and grab a glass of wine or whiskey or local craft beer. It's always a good time out at Naked Vine, so come check it out. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Oh yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it!
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock,
rock, rock, rock, y'all. Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today at Smithley Productions in St. Louis with Neil and Adam. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thank you.
You guys want to properly introduce yourselves for everybody?
Yeah, I'm Neil McCloskey.
I am Adam Hillegard.
And like I said, Neil and Adam, you guys, this is cool, man. Like that, I'm finally getting to do this. We're getting to hang out, like, because I think we've kind of been friendly online for a little while. That's sure. How a lot of these work. Start taking notice of somebody doing some cool stuff in town, and I'm glad it all like came to be today. I think remember somebody on Twitter shot me a link to and stuff too, so that helped out. He had some fans saying, "Hey, check out the song and stuff." So that was that doesn't hurt. yeah, but it was cool, man. When, like I said, that's one of my favorite things about doing this show is to continue to discover great new music in town. And that's the case again today, man. I'm excited to be here, going to talk about some of your guys' stuff and everything. But like I said, I don't know a lot about Neil and Adam. So fill me in. Where does all this get started, guys?
It all starts back at Kirkwood High School.
Yeah.
German class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go back to 1995, 1994, something.
Yeah.
I think it was like 1994. It was my freshman year in high school. And I overheard Adam talking about, overheard a conversation he was having with somebody in class about a flanger pedal or something that made me realize he played the guitar.
Yeah.
And you know, I was new at the school. Like I said, it was my freshman year. I didn't really have a lot of folks, you know, that I knew could play music or whatever. So I asked him if he wanted to play guitar sometime. And just, you know, we write our own songs, right? You know. I had written my own songs up until that point. And we just started jamming, you know, just kind of getting to feel each other out, and our songwriting just totally just meshed from day one. And then it was like we never looked back after that. We just started writing our own material, didn't really mess with covers too much. Mm-hmm. Sometimes to fill in a set list, you know, when you play live, people want to hear a familiar song every so often, but our thing was just writing. We just wanted to write the best songs we could. So
yeah, is that So did you guys go through like some different bands or different things before getting to just being Neil and Adam, or was it always been?
We've always stayed together.
Yeah.
Played with various musicians, but it's always just been like Neil and I pretty much doing like the writing and all that. We do pretty well as a duo.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's difficult, like we were saying earlier, to bring in a group of players, but yeah, the writing and everything has always just been us.
Right. I didn't know if maybe you had some, you know, high school band, like you're saying, the freshmen and stuff. Like, because like some of those, I always always get a kick out of those early high school band names and different.
Oh, yeah, I got one of those for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in a band in middle school before I met Adam.
All right.
You know, it's funny because like my dad, like he would always have the classic records. Like I was raised on good music, you know what I'm saying? The Beatles, you know, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, whatever he was spinning, the Traveling Wilburys, stuff like that.
Right.
Real great songwriting, really quality songwriting. And then middle school hit and it was like, oh, actually, Nirvana's my favorite and it's punk and it's grunge
yeah,
and all that.
Sure.
So I joined a, you know, pretty hardcore band. And so we called ourselves Plankton because that was about the coolest name in the world, you know?
Yeah.
It was either Plankton or Milk Soda, you know, stuff like that. Just these random kind of names. And we were pretty hard. It was all distortion. It was all power chords. It's what we were into at the time.
Right.
But it's like through that, it's kind of how I found my niche writing. I'm like, oh, okay. This is how you piece together a verse and a chorus. And then there's a bridge and all that. So it was like, I wanted to like not play. Not, I mean, like heavy stuff was fine with me, but I wanted to do, I didn't want to be like anchored to like that particular band. And so when high school came, I saw it as an opportunity to like maybe meet new people. And then when Adam started talking about music, when I first met him, you know, that's what kind of opened the door.
For know? Sure. Do you guys were you guys doing like talent show stuff then in school too? Or was it something you guys kind of just kept to yourself for a while?
I think we kept to ourselves.
Yeah.
I don't remember doing too much in high school. Periodically, we would do something like somebody's party or something sure. like that. I kind of vaguely remember that.
Yeah, that was we didn't. Yeah, Adam and I never did any talent show together. I did a talent show in high school my senior year with a couple of guys, and I played guitar, and the three of us all sang because we were in a cappella together, and we did The Sound of Silence, you know? It's fantastic. And we got the harmony down right, you know, because we were all in a cappella together. So it was really easy for us to nail it. And it was like, yes, you know, just playing in front of all those people. Like, I want to do this forever, you know? But the real magic was always writing.
Right.
In Adam's basement, we always kind of...
Yeah, just kept on learning and growing and writing.
That's right.
Yeah, just it was almost kind of, you know, when something's new, it's just amazing. And that's pretty much how it was. Like, we would listen to a lot of music that nobody really listened to back then. Beach Boys, Pet Sounds, all that. And we would just kind of go from there and start to learn different ways to write and become more creative.
Yeah, we were into stuff that wasn't popular at the time. You know, it seemed like everybody was into, like, Dave Matthews Band or whatever, you know, at that time in the 90s. Yeah. And we were like, you know, Adam got a great music upbringing because his dad was in the industry for quite some time and worked on some real significant projects. He was in Motown Records. And,
he was a songwriter for Motown Records.
Oh, wow.
Late 70s. So. Mm. Yeah, so I mean, Neil and I both grew up with music, so it's something that we just always knew we wanted to do.
Yeah,
like playing, and you know, we'd always meet together. We'd play in Adam's basement, and you'd see the old reel-to-reel and all the old gear that his dad used to use when their band was playing down there. You know, this is post Motown Records, and they moved back to St. Louis, and Adam's dad was playing in different bands.
Yeah, I think that was like early on. Yeah,
but at any rate, we'd be down there playing and in the midst of all this cool musical equipment, and you just got this sense like this is what you wanted to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And it was awesome because Adam's dad would give us, you know, he would maybe hear some of our songs when he was walking down the hall. You know, he'd hear it from the top of the stairs. And, or we just straight up, I mean, we'd record a portion of it or a whole song and we'd play it for him. And he would give us the advice, drums are too busy here, tell your drummer to take it down a notch here so that you can hear this. And, you know, some of it seems obvious to us now, but we didn't know back then. I mean, sure. He was giving us golden advice, you know what I mean? And it really crafted our songwriting. But he also told us, like getting back to the Beach Boys, like, this is good songwriting. If you want to hear how to structure a song, check out Pet Sounds or listen to, you know, just...
Yeah, all that older music, that song, some of those songwriting.
Right. Real solid stuff. You know, not to say that, I mean, the bands that we were, that were popular when we were just getting together and starting to play, I mean, they had good songwriting too.
Oh, yeah.
But we weren't really jam bandy, you know, Fish was cool, String Cheese was cool, but like, we weren't in it to just play for days like that, you know right. what I mean? We wanted to write a tight song. We were really interested into radio-friendly stuff, get to the chorus within 30, 40 seconds, mm-hmm. you know, just impactful stuff.
I think there's a great Jon Bon Jovi quote where he says, don't bore us, get to the chorus.
Yeah.
So yep.
That's
right on.
Very important.
Yep.
That's something like when we're writing, we actually did it the other day. What we do is, technology is so cool now. You can just hit the voice memo on your phone or whatever and just kind of record. And we time to see where we are as far as getting to the chorus. And you want to get there under a minute, pretty much with pop writing.
Right.
You got to keep their interest.
For sure.
You know.
But that's what I love about, like you guys are saying, about the songwriting. And like in a good song, you know, you guys definitely lend more to the pop sound, but... A good song is a good song. The lyrics are going to hold up, whether it's in a country or a rock song or whatever it is. Right. Sometimes, I mean, definitely some of the stuff, the structure lends more to a pop. But I mean, like, I love the songwriting where the lyrics are. You know, that's what makes it stand out. You know, for me, like, so, and that's what I did notice too in some of the songs that you guys have out there that I connected with the writing and they're just super catchy too. Like, that's the obviously got that the pop hook dialed in there, so on a lot of those so when do you guys feel like you sort of developed mm-hmm. that really that kind of honed into what Neil and Adam was going to do with that pop sound? Like, is
oh sorry go ahead.
Well, I was just like, is that, I mean, you say obviously you were saying the Beach Boys and all that stuff kind of mm-hmm. helped influence all that, but I mean, it's, you know, you guys always knew right away, like, this is more, we want to definitely do more of this pop thing.
There was a mm-hmm. song that we were working on a long time ago. It was called Turn to Stone. And how long did we work on that song? Forever. Just kept on making up these new...
Yeah, it
new,
seemed like it.
Yeah. And every time you would keep on going, you kept on growing. And that song was a very unique song, actually. My dad wished we recorded it and still played it. But, I mean, this was early on, but, like,
yeah.
I think that song helped us grow.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, as far as, like... melody lines and chord structure, it was a different song. And
that was like our first go at like
really writing.
Yeah, I mean, like we had what was it? I don't know, a Tascam or some type of, no, it wasn't, it was, man, it was all analog, you know, it was like cassette. I don't know, we might have had like 6 or 8 tracks to work with, and we, you know, read about how the Beatles and Brian Wilson, how they would just ping pong these tracks and layer them on top of each other with very limited resources at times. You know, I mean, if you have an eight tracks and then you can layer them on top of one another without losing the generations of sound. Really clever writing. You know, we wanted to take a crack at that, and we were kind of writing a new song anyway, and it was like a playground for us, you know? And so it was a lot of our influences, you know, obviously rock, blues, what have you, but I think that was our first taste of pop. And then fast forward to where we met a dude named Mike Rogers, and he took one of our songs to the next level, and he played it back for us to see how we felt about it, and we were like, dude, that is the jam, you know, like He turned a good song even better. Mm-hmm. You know, That Was Everything Is All Right.
That was initially like a demo. Yeah. And actually, I think my stomach hurts if I hear the demo after or before my demo.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a totally different song. I mean, acoustic based, right. You know, it was poppy. But when Mike, you know, and Mike Rogers, backstory on him, he's been in the industry, you know, for, I don't know, 30 years or so. He's got a couple gold records under his belt. I mean, he was, you know, the song from Delight, Groove Is in the Heart.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's him. He was responsible for some of the genius behind that mixing and mastering, you know, super cool guy.
That's where we were in April. That's where we were recording the song Bright Light. So, that's,
yeah, we were. Yeah,
and then
we
he did our, because Everything Is All Right was being promoted at the CMJ. And so he totally made it awesome. That's how we got hooked up.
That's right. And that is when we heard one of our songs, I think, come to its full potential. Like, wow, like, this is it. You know what I mean? Like, this is what we need to be doing. This,
for sure.
This, it just fits. Everything fits. And it was a natural fit because after that, a cool lady named Jane Chemish with JD Promotions discovered us in Wales. You know, and we got on ITV in Britain, you know, all over the radio over there. And then that's when, like, we really started to, you know, kind of, as you said before, riding the wave, you know, like, that's where, like, okay, wow, we're totally on this wave right now. Mm. We just want to keep it going, you know. So but that's when we really found, I guess, that we belong in the pop genre, you know.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Everything Is All Right, and that's available, I guess, everywhere digitally right now.
Everywhere, yeah.
iTunes and Spotify and all that fun stuff. So check that out for sure. And yeah, that's one for me. Like, that's, I guess that's where the first one I heard, you know, obviously. And then I was just hooked, man. Like, that chorus kicks in, and you can't help but to start singing along with it. Like, it just immediately catches you. And so... Definitely a fun one. And like, for me, that even the melody too, like, it's been happening to me a lot with a couple different songs, but like, I'll just get that melody stuck in my head, and then like, where everything I say for the rest of the day will like goes in that same, you know, so I'm just like, everything I keep saying just comes out in that melody and stuff. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it just,
that's cool, man.
It's just fun. But that's what I love about music, and I love that it just kind of, those little earworms that get stuck in your head, and you just can't help but to sing along with those songs, man. But
amen.
Let's. Is there any particular story around? I mean, besides, like you said, he was kind of working with him in the studio. But as far as the lyrics and things, I mean, is there anything particularly around the lyrics that you guys were going through or something at the time when you wrote these songs?
Everything Is All Right was interesting. Mm. That one actually, there was a publisher in New York that had kind of reached out and. He was kind of asking at that time, you know, come up with something like positive and poppy. And I think we finished Everything Is All Right in a weekend.
I know, or, 2 weeks tops. I don't know.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks.
We were like, oh, positive, we can do that. And man, you just find a few chords. And like you're saying, earworm, you know, just this melody just kind of popped in there. And we're like, whoa, that's rad. And just kind of, it was kind of a feel good. We wanted a good message, you know what I mean? And that song was really true to us. And, you know, we didn't write it for the sole purpose of appeasement. You know, we didn't write it out of obligation to just appease this guy. We wanted to write a new song anyway. Yeah. So it was true to us, you know what I mean? And once the lyrics came, it was like, man, that's just great. Mm-hmm. You know, just... why not? You know, sure. I mean, everybody deserves to hear that, you know, the message of that, of a song like that, you know?
Yep.
It doesn't matter what you look like, everything is all right, you're still an open book. What makes you think he doesn't want you, don't you want to have another look? Doesn't
you get so romantic? Is it automatic for you to wear your heart up on your sleeve? Now you're breaking through the static. How it would be tragic if you didn't tell him before you leave. You're broken, you need him. There's nothing you would not give. Unspoken emotions are calling for just one kiss. It doesn't matter what you look like, everything is alright. Everything is alright. What makes you think it doesn't?
I love that too. Like, you know, either way, it's like I said, you're kind of grooving and dancing to it because it's got that upbeat to it. But then, like, the fact that there is a positive message and everything else, like, so people can sing along to this feel good, you know, song and not really even fully realize like what they're saying sometimes. I just think it's fun. Like, it's fun about music. Like, people can just kind of get lost in and not even realize like, oh, hey, well, like, actually, hey, there's, if you look at the lyrics, like, there's a really good message here, like, that, you know. And it's just funny about music sometimes. I also find it funny like how the opposite can be too. Like, if it's a really sad song, even though it's a super upbeat poppy kind of song, but like, then you read the lyrics like, oh man, this is kind of a bummer, really. Like,
yes,
but you know, it's nice to hear that this is a definitely more of a positive one. So like, because there's not a lot of that. I mean, there is, but the grand scheme, there's a lot of songs about heartbreak and everything else. So it's like,
yep,
when you hear something good where, hey, everything's going to be all right. So
yeah, it's cool because it's like, I mean, I agree totally with what you're saying. We, most of the songs we write are like, you know, it might be about heartbreak or like our relationship that didn't work out, yeah, or something that went up in flames. And so this was also kind of new territory for us. But like, what if we just did? What if happily ever after is cool?
Yeah,
you know.
But like, you know what? Actually, to backtrack, just to give credit for it too, the story is he wanted something poppy, and I think your wife Yibby said to do something positive. So actually, to give her credit, I think that's how the positive message.
You have a good memory, yeah.
Yeah, I was just sitting there thinking about it, like, wait a second, he was asking for something super poppy, and normally we kind of do the dark over bright chords, and like,
yeah, we like that combo,
right?
Happy chords with a slightly darker message, or like minor chords, kind of a somber with a positive message. We just like the this was like just, you know, very transparent,
yeah,
and a very, you know, just very catchy,
yeah. Well, you like I said, I guess a lot of people are catching on to it. You said you guys enter that particular song, right, for the Next to Rock now?
Yeah.
And that You guys are in the finals?
Yeah, we're the in the, I guess, the local finals in Columbia through 102.3 BXR. Yeah, that was kind of pretty cool to hear it, you know, on the radio and then hear that we had got enough votes to be in the finals. So, yeah, that song has done us a lot of favors.
Yeah.
I think the coolest was, I mean, not in addition to the Next to Rock, was actually seeing it on national TV, like, and Neil was saying earlier on This Morning and on ITV. It's been all over. So,
yeah, that was a big deal, man.
Yeah.
There were, it was on the fashion segment of ITV, or on this fashion morning, segment yeah. of This Morning. That's right. And so you get to watch women walking up and down wearing different clothes and jewelry, listening to your music is playing, and we're like, wow, this is wild.
Yeah.
You know, our Jane, our promoter over the in Wales, sent it to us by way of text message. Mm. Was that right, or did she? She recorded it.
Yeah, she actually recorded it, and it's on Facebook.
Yeah, that's right. She was like, check this out, guys. And
it was on TV there.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty wild. So, that was just really, we got a lot of traction.
With that song.
Right. I mean, it's played all over the world. A lot of internet radio, community radio stations, FM stations, stuff like that. We're just really happy to have that happen, you know?
Yeah. Well, part of Next to Rock, you guys going to Columbia to get to play a part of that. I guess they're putting on a show for the competition. Is that right?
Right. It's at Rose Hall. Let's see. Sunday, August 19th.
Yeah.
And I think doors open at 2 or 3. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about that one.
Yeah, we're going to be one of many cool bands that are playing there.
Yeah, there's some really cool bands that got into the finals there that we were pretty impressed with.
Yeah, it's just great to be part of that group, you know.
And you said all part of a good cause too, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Part of the proceeds go to St. Jude's. So St. Jude's Hospital. So that's awesome. That's a win-win.
Yeah.
And just to have our name, I think, in the hat amongst some of those other really cool bands is great, on top of it being an awesome cause. So
right. So yeah, if you're in the Columbia area, come on out to Rose on August 19th, right?
Right.
And then other than that, you can follow along with Neil and Adam on your Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter and all that to keep up with other show dates hopefully coming up soon and all the more shows coming. So we are here at Smith Lee. We did do a little live jamming in the studio here. You guys shared Oil Fire. We did a little live stripped down version of this that also is out there available for the studio version, available online for purchase. And but anything around Oil Fire you guys want to share?
That was kind of
that song was actually older than Everything Is All Right.
It was like you wrote a part of it and I wrote a part of it at different times. And we were like, this is perfect together. Yeah. A lot of our songs happen like that. We have such a huge catalog of partially written songs. Sure. Mm-hmm. And I remember Yibby, it was right when we first moved into the house. My wife bought me this awesome Yamaha digital piano and the chords for the chorus. Burning like an over, I was like, oh man, that was in my head. But the chords that turned out to be the verse, Adam had written probably, I don't know, a year, two years before. Yeah, it's just wild how things come together.
Two. Whoa, whoa. The scene of the crime, fingerprints of love all over every window, around and around it goes. Why don't you burn it like an oil fire? Why don't you burn it like an oil fire? Why don't you burn it like an oil fire? Why don't you burn it around and around it goes? You got somebody to hide. Like a dog in the fight,
when I saw you all over each other. But it made you feel like you're walking on the water. Now she's burning like an old fire inside. You're shaking to the core. The lie, yeah, you lie wet. Wake up alone, sweat all over your body. Won't you look at the world around you? Every part of you, from the start of you until the end of time. But that was when we used to pretend that I loved you so, but I let you go. Now here we go again, and now you're burning like an oil fire inside. You're shaking to the core of the lie, yeah, you lie with. Wake up alone, sweat all over your body. Won't you look at the world around you?
No, that song really, I mean, was just more of a story, nothing in particular. No, mm-hmm. We weren't like, it wasn't a narrative of like a life event or something like that, but it did have a message that I think everybody could relate to that's been in a bad relationship, you know, or where there's been some dishonesty or some weird, you know, drama. I mean, I think that happens in a lot of the relationships, right, before you find the one, you know?
Right.
But yeah, that song was kind of a painful reminder of what bad relationships are.
Sure.
So we had to sing about it, you know. Yeah. But yeah.
Is that I always feel like sometimes, mm-hmm, when you're saying some of those things, like is it like picking a scab a little bit? Like, it's, you know, something, I mean, even though, like, mm-hmm, you might be in a better place now, but like sometimes a part of you has kind of got to go back and kind of relive that every time. Like, I imagine, like, as a songwriter and stuff, like, is that the case for you guys? Or,
yeah, no, there's definitely, yeah, truth to that. I mean, it's the lyrics might be structured around an idea that came from an experience, something real that happened. You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes things come to mind. You sing it enough, and then it just becomes lyrics on, yeah, the song. But getting back to what you're asking, I mean, there's definitely honesty in the songwriting there. Comes from somewhere, you know. And then we just kind of build the story around it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't realize it, too. It's, mm-hmm, like coming out from, you know, from the deeps, yeah, depths. Like, yeah, you know, just like, you know, it just kind of comes out. But
yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Well, you guys kind of shared a little bit into your process. Do you guys, with the collaborating and things, but do you guys, do you both write the lyrics, or do you guys, mm-hmm, is it, or do one kind of come with an idea and kind of write a good guitar part for the other? Or
we write everything equally. It's like, it's kind of like, who, you know, Adam might come up with something on his own, or I might come up with something on my own, and we're like, hey, what do you think about this, you know? And usually it's like, right on, let's work with that. Yeah. Or if it's like, or if we're in the middle of working on something already, it's like, let's put that one on the back burner. It sounds good, but we'll put it on the back burner and revisit it later. Sometimes later could be a year. Sometimes it could be a week, you know. But we do, I mean, with Everything Is All Right, we wrote, I think, the lyrics equally, you know. We wrote the song equally. Everything was just 100% Adam, 100% me, you know, group effort. Usually that's how things go down. Mm-hmm. I feel like very rarely do we come up with something exclusively Adam or exclusively Neil, and then we're like, let's play it this way. You know, there's always a collaboration. I mean, Adam plays piano. I play piano. You know, guitar, mm-hmm, and bass. And I mean, so I feel like it's whoever comes up with it first, and then, right, we just build on top of it. I don't know, wouldn't you,
right,
say?
Well, yeah, and then like sometimes, like even like certain chord structures, they put across an emotion, right? Mm-hmm. Like just by their sound, and then we kind of go from there. Like sometimes for me, it's like a picture in my mind. Like you kind of see something and then you go from there. But yeah, I mean, it's always been pretty
easy. Yeah, right. Like, yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's kind of like you see like a silent movie for a second in your head and you kind of go from in that direction as far as like what we want to write about.
Yeah, and that becomes contagious. And so then, therefore, we wind up contributing equally. Like, you know, that makes me feel like snow falling, you know, so let's write about this or that. You know, I don't know. It's just amazing what a few chords can do, how they get the creative juices flowing. Yeah. But, I mean, it's that type of creativity that I think allows us to really work well with one another because we share the same vision a lot of times.
Right. You guys have any, like, writing... like practices or anything that like you do to challenge yourself or anything, or is it more just when the inspiration hits, you just try to keep up and write it, keep up with have the pen to paper? Because I've heard like some people like try to write like a song a day or do, you know, different things like that or whatever. It's like,
so I think that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. That's not what we do. Unfortunately, I we're getting better, but you know, I would like to do that at some point, but then you kind of, then there's a magic, you know, behind something brand new that you maybe haven't worked for a few months and then all of a sudden, boom, it's, so I don't know. I've heard two different things all the time.
Yeah. When we didn't have 9-to-5
sure
ish jobs, it would be a song a day, you know? And like, we totally value that, you know, but, now it's like we write when we can, so when we do, we make it count.
Right.
You know.
I think all that kind of helps too. Like, I feel like, you know, if you get into, like, you think about the touring musician, like he's every day he's on, you know, goes up and plays the songs and gets in the van, goes to the next city, plays the songs, and it's like you're not really living any real life moments. You know, it's like until you're off stage and you get to go back home and you're hanging with the family and you're doing that kind of stuff. And like, that's when the inspiration starts. I feel like, you know, this is my perspective. I'm not a writer or anything, but like, I just feel like sometimes it would be hard to get motivated to write something when you're just kind of going through the, you know, the different day-to-day things. And then, but like, as far as like, you know, going to work and doing your different things, like you get to really live things where you can write about something that's relatable and stuff too, like that people are going to connect to. And like, cause like we're right there with you. We're all going through the same thing. So I don't know. I think there's probably, again, there's no right or wrong way to do any of this stuff, but like, I just feel like that probably helps too with some of the writing and.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. There's a lot of truth in what you're saying. Sometimes I feel surprised because I'll be doing the most mundane thing that I do every day at work or at home and something will pop into my head and I'm like, oh, dang, you know, stop what I'm doing, pick up my cell phone and I'm like, la, da, 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 you know, and then I hit record or whatever, you know, so I can refer back to it or else it's just gone. But a lot of times it'll be like right when you wake up in the morning or when you're drifting off at night to sleep, you know, you've got to wake up and write it down. It's so catchy when you think about it. Sometimes you're like, I won't forget that, you know, it's
gone.
Yeah. And then it's gone like a vapor, right. You know, you're like, it's there. And then it's not there. In the shower too is another one.
That's weird too. That is like ideas.
I don't know what's up with that.
I don't know.
In the shower, you're getting clean. Maybe it's cause you're feeling good and you start singing and you're like, oh, that's a great idea. I don't know. You know? But yeah, definitely. I mean, getting out of the daily grind, whatever it is, mm-hmm. be it touring or just being at work, really helps just kind of open your mind. And, you know, like you were saying, there's no right or wrong way, but I feel like somehow that that kind of puts us in more of a perceptive or a receptive mode to to write something new, to write something, you know, worthwhile.
You guys mentioned being played overseas and all this. Mm-hmm. Is there any plans to put together some touring and do some over there and visit?
We'd love that.
Yeah,
we would. We gotta find the right musicians, you know, but that is most certainly in the cards, and we have very support, like my wife is very supportive, and you know, Adam's fiance is incredibly supportive, soon to be wife, and I mean, they would love nothing more for us to realize our dream. So touring would be awesome, but we have to do the songs justice first to be able to take them on the stage in a way that would, I think help facilitate a tour proper.
Right, I agree, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
We would love that more than anything.
Yeah, know? I mean, that's like pretty high up on my bucket list is just touring, just to, not as a musician, but just to see the world, you know, like get to see some other the sights and stuff. So music too along the way. For me, one of the big ones is I want to go to Red Rocks and see a show there. It's
nice.
You know, that's obviously a little more feasible goal than going Europe and stuff. But a friend of mine just did that a little bit ago. That kind of backpacked through Europe and got to see like. I think like Roger Waters and Pearl Jam and like a bunch of really shows like all over there, and I'm like super jealous. I was like following his Facebook feed, and I'm like, man, and I was like, I gotta do that. Like I gotta. I don't know how he afforded it, but you know, like this.
Bed and breakfast or something, right. You know.
But that would be pretty incredible to just again experience the music, but also getting to see some of the world.
Yeah, that would be very feasible for us. I mean, like we look on our SoundCloud and it's like our listeners are in Germany or they're in London, you know, they're in New Zealand, they're, you know, so it's like, man, like we could totally rock this, you know, and we'd love to, but again, getting there. Mm-hmm. Got to get there.
Yeah, right. I would also like to just experience myself too, the difference in like the crowds, because I've heard a lot of stories that sometimes over there the crowd is like very receptive, like where they like they might not, you know, read it, like if you look at them they might not show a lot of emotion sometimes, but until like the song's done and then they all like, you know, get a standing ovation and stuff, like, but here everybody's like, you know, once recorded the whole show on their phones and everything else, and it's like,
yeah,
so it's interesting that the cultural differences too and how people take in music and stuff, so it'd be interesting to see for myself to how that works over there.
Yeah,
but yeah, that would be fun, man. So yeah, if anybody wants to help these guys out getting over to Europe, I mean, that'd be or anywhere out there, that'd be great. So
yeah, they could email our neilandadam.com. Yeah. Mm-hmm. right
tell
hit us friend. Up on Facebook,
Twitter.
Yep. Yeah, please, yeah, spread the word. Yeah. We need musicians.
Yeah. I mean there's no shortage of great players in St. Louis. Yeah. So I'm sure we can definitely help put something together for you guys. Get out there and start playing.
Awesome.
Let's share one more tune. This is currently unreleased, but you guys are in studio working on this particular tune, and it's called Bright Light. And again, this is a stripped down live version of the song. But like I said, you guys are gearing up to record it and things. Is this shaping up to be a record, or is it EP, or just going to release it as a single?
It's going
to
be a single. It's done.
Yeah.
It's just in production right now. So we're just hoping to hear it soon. We haven't heard like the final version yet. So yeah, it's kind of going through the motions right now, but we're hoping we hear it very soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to record it up in Connecticut with our buddy Mike Rogers. And he's just really an awesome dude, you know, I mean,
stayed at his house. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's right on. Yeah, he was gracious enough to let us stay in his home. And I mean, it was like, you know, just hitting the song with everything we got. One day was just entirely devoted to vocals, you know, the next day was entirely devoted to guitar. And it was really neat, I think, to be involved in a recording session that was regimented like that, because, you know, Adam and I have done that before, not quite to that degree. Also, we had a limited time frame up there. I think we were only there for 3 or 4 days. And so Mike was like, well, let's, you know, let's do this. Let's get out everything we can, you know, from you guys. And, you know, we gave it our all. And it was really cool to see how the song was forming up there. And now we can't wait to hear how it's going to sound, mm-hmm. you know, post-production. So.
Sure. So when you took it to the studio to mic, it was sounded like this, like the live acoustic. I mean, it's like you guys started with that and then built it up from there.
Mm. I mean, we started it. I mean, it kind of sounded like this. I mean, the melody, the structure was generally
sure
there. We had more. It was heavier in the electric guitar. We even had horns in it, and we thought this would be the great way to go. You know. And then we were kind of feeling like it wasn't really, it didn't hit the heart. It didn't really get what we want. I mean, it wasn't poppy enough. I mean, it was a poppy sounding song, but like we needed to tighten it up, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's just funny how it is. Like when you wind up starting a song off, writing it in a studio, which was actually here in St. Louis, and you put all these layers on it and you're almost convinced it's the right thing to go, and then you start to get other ideas, just the creative process, then you start to shed these layers. Next thing you know, it's like, let's just rebuild it from ground up, mm-hmm. from square one. And that was the way Mike felt about it anyway.
Right.
So we got to have a clean slate. We literally rebuilt the song, you know, in his studio in Connecticut, and it's it's where we want it to be now, mm-hmm. you know. But it's just funny what you have to go through to get there, you know.
Sure.
It's like throwing away a painting and starting over. You know, you're convinced that this is great, but you're like, nah, I'm not quite, you know, I'm not convinced, you right, know.
No.
Well, sometimes even like, I feel like even just changing the, you know, BPM or whatever, just changing the tempo just a little bit and like, or whatever it is, like slightly tweaking something and like it makes it even better. It's like, you like think it's right this way for a while, you're doing that, and then all of a sudden, like some one little change, you're like, oh, there it is. Like everything just clicked into place for some, you know,
mm-hmm.
One little tweak and stuff. So that's the fun about being in the studio, I think, too, is just like it's like a playground just to play around and have fun with it until it's right.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we love to record. Yeah. So,
well, hopefully we'll, so that's, I guess, soon, hopefully, right?
Soon. Yeah, we have no official date yet,
yeah.
But we hope very soon.
Right. Mm-hmm. We'll keep an eye out. Is there anything in the works for an album or an EP? I mean, I know pop music is kind of geared around the singles, though, like mm-hmm. especially today's music, you know, so... are you guys just going to stick with the singles for now?
Or? Yeah, we've been advised to pretty much just singles. Right. And I think that's the way the market's going.
It seems like that's the consumer. Like, that's people want to just buy the song. Like,
right.
Yeah. It's interesting. I have a buddy, Pat. He's done pretty, you know, done very well for himself. But he has one song in particular that... Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys produced, and so he got lumped in with Black Keys Radio on Pandora, and like that really, you know, did well for him. Like,
that's awesome.
But people love that song. It's called Them Shoes. They love that one song, and they'll go out and buy it. And like, he's like, and it's just interesting. Like, I love his whole record, but people are buying like that one song because they heard it on Pandora, and again, like you're saying, people just want to buy the single. So it's interesting, but you know, I think there's music fans out there. For, I mean, there's definitely people that still support records,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah,
you know, I think definitely in a lot of modern pop music and stuff, there's definitely a lot of people just want to buy the single. So,
and probably in years to come, it'll go back to being the album will be the thing to have. And
sure.
So it kind of goes back and forth, but yeah, right now we're focusing on singles and trying to just, you know, get our best material out there. And
yeah.
I think that's kind of the cool thing when you just focus on single, like that's, you're going to write your best song kind of, and that's kind of what we've been doing a little bit. Not saying that like if you had an album, you're going to have a couple that, you know, are so-so, but.
Right. It's like almost like you're kind of put in this position where you're treating it like this is your only work of art,
right,
you know,
exactly.
and you want to make it perfect, like
right.
If there's one track that's going to represent your essence, you know, you give it your all and you make everything perfect about it, you know, and you treat it like it's the only song you have, you know,
right, exactly.
So you're throwing everything into it.
Yeah.
So
is there any would you guys want to do a, like proper music video for Everything Is All Right or
any absolutely
music? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think that'd be a lot of fun, especially, you know, kind of help. I mean, the message is there, but like be able to put that message to life. I think that's the fun thing about obviously a music video, to kind of bring the story to, you know, to the people. So hopefully I think that'd be fun. I get in my head sometimes, like, I think it'd be fun to get out there and just to try it, but like I've never had the creativity of it, but like I get these weird ideas sometimes in my head for music videos and stuff, like when I hear particular songs and stuff sometimes motivate me. But I think it would be fun to get into doing some of that. I got some friends locally that do really well with music videos and different stuff.
Okay.
But I just think that I haven't quite figured out where I fit in with all this stuff. I'm just a giant fan of music, and I started doing this show just to help shine a light on it all. But it would be fun to take the next step in creativity, like whatever it is, if it's music videos or whatever. But Like I said, I just
well, if you ever have some ideas, like feel free to shoot them to us.
Sure,
I mean,
I mean, and love you, to hear. Like you have a good voice. We heard your Instagram post. Yeah, like, hey man, if you want to sing in one of our songs?
Yeah, I don't know about all that, but
well, what you're doing is awesome, and we appreciate you.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I appreciate you guys. This is it's been a lot of fun getting to just to hang, man. And like I said, getting to know a little more about you guys, like. It's the crazy thing with the internet, man. We can all meet, but it's like it's cool to actually meet face to face here and get to know more about each other and get to share some of these tunes. But I'm very excited for everything that Neil and Adam have coming up. We got like I said, hopefully some new music on the way and everything else. But if you're in the Columbia, Missouri area, come out and see these guys Sunday, August 19th at Rose, and tell all your friends and let's pack it out and raise some money for St. Jude's. So
very cool.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. And maybe we'll do it again soon and debut some of those new tunes and stuff. So
yeah, we'd love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.